Do you believe the Bible? Some folks have doubts about it, and some folks aren't, they really haven't taken much time to even worry about the issue. But some folks believe the Bible. If you're a Bible believer, I believe the Lord has a lot to say to you now because the contemporary issues we talked about in Sunday school, what's happening. I believe the Bible is being fulfilled before your eyes very quickly. If you have your Bible, would you turn the book of Revelation with me this morning, please? If you'd like to stand. The book of Revelation, verse number 10, chapter number 1, verse 10. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 10. The Apostle John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, what that means is open to discussion. But in my opinion, this man is talking about being carried forth into the future and viewing absolutely what happens below him. He sees it firsthand. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Father, in thy name, bless your word now. Amen. You can be seated. The book of Revelation, as the title says, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the unfolding of Jesus Christ as he is now, not as he was in the flesh. The Apostle Paul says that we no longer know him after the flesh. Therefore, we must know him as he is now. The Lord Jesus Christ has always been second person of the Trinity, from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Son of God. He became the God-man 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea, lived a sinless, perfect life for 33.5 years, and then was offered up on a cross as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And the book of Hebrews talks about his high priesthood, his ministry, now as he sits at the right hand of the Father, and what he can do as the high priest. But the book of Revelation opens unto us the Lord Jesus Christ as he is now, prophet, priest, and coming king. When you look at the book of Revelation very carefully, you'll find that the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ is not so much tied up with him as Savior. Although it says in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 5, he hath washed us from our sins in his own blood. That is the salvation. That is the Savior. Of all the things the Lord Jesus Christ is, that is the most intimate to him. It is the most personal of his being. Because to be the Savior, it cost him his very life and his life's blood. He had to pay, he had to earn the right to be the Savior. But my friend, in the book of Revelation, it's not so much about salvation. The book of Revelation is about a change of power. It's about a situation that is completely changed and altered. The earth and the world as we know it today will never be the same. The powers that be and that rule upon this earth are about to change. The book of Revelation presents for us, first of all, the judgment of the church. That must be done. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And he talks to his people. He's doing that now. The church in America and throughout this world is about to be purged. It's being purged at this very moment. A cleansing process must take place. That cleansing will separate the true believer from the false, the unbeliever. It'll separate those that are born again from those who have man-made religion. They have the Christian religion, but they don't know the Christ of the cross. But my friend, the time is coming when the issue of the church will be long settled and long gone. For you'll come and catch the church up to meet him in the clouds and in the air. And the book of Revelation does, my friend, have to do with the future and the coming of the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times in the book of Revelation, he is presented to us as he is in eternity. Here in chapter number 1, it talks about him having hair white as snow, eyes as a flame of fire, his whole countenance shining as the noonday sun. He's bright, brilliant, shines with glory. Here is a conquering hero. Here is a coming king. Here is a man of war. Here is one who takes no back talk. He issues orders. The book of Revelation has to do with one who is about to come and forcibly take a kingdom that belongs to him. The book of Revelation has no questions for mankind. Instead, he declares what's going to be. The angelic host of heaven opens up and angels begin to descend upon this earth, doing the will of the Son of God. The earth, the Bible says, is going to be shaken like a drunken man and reeled to and fro. The Bible says that the oceans are going to turn to blood. It says that the green grass, the green trees, the things that grow upon this earth are going to be burned up. In Revelation chapter number 6, we have four horsemen. These four horsemen are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. What it is a condensation in those four horsemen of all that's going to happen during this 7-year period of time. The thing that God wants you to understand is that there is one who is in absolute control. There is one who's calling all the shots. There is one who is working it out according to his will. He wants you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He wants you to see for 7 years how the earth will finally get what it wants. It will have handed to it what it has declared from all time past. It wants no God. It wants no Christ. It wants no blood. It wants no church. It wants no Bible. It wants no constraints. It wants no one telling it what to do. And so God says, I shall withdraw. I will call my church and my bride out of the world, and I'll let you have 7 years of what you want. And my friend, at that 7-year time rolls down to the end, men will be begging for death and death will flee from them. They'll be eating each other. And cannibalism and rape and murder will be running rampant. Kingdom will turn against kingdom. War all over the face of the earth. Blood flowing as high as a horse's bridle. This is exactly where America is headed. It does not want Jesus. It does not want the Bible. It does not want God. It declares your Bible to be a myth. And so God is about to withdraw and say, here it is. You can have it the way you want it. But my friend, at the end of 7 years, after the earth has had its orgy in its self-love and self-esteem and all about itself, it will cry out for a deliverer. It'll cry out for somebody that can get it out of this world. And for 7 years, my friend, this earth is going to go through birth pains. It's going to go through birth pains like it never has before. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of glory, is about to come back to the earth, and he's going to reign in power and might and great glory. But before he does, the earth will get its man. He will rise up in power. He will rise up in his own glory. He will come in his own name. He'll be unlike any that's ever come before him. He will be called the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. I see about me right now, and I am no fool. I see about me men who would love to be that man of sin. I see them as they struggle for world dominion.
dominion and power and domination. I see them, my friend, who have rejected Christ. They rejected His gospel. They rejected His Bible. They rejected His word. And they would sell their soul to Satan in a heartbeat if He gave them the power that they lust for. They've got money. They've got all the things the earth can offer. But they want power. They want power over men. They want to control your lives. They want to tell you when to get up and when to go to bed. They want to sit in power and authority over the earth. And for a short period of time, the devil will give them what they want. He will give the Antichrist that kind of power. Now, my friend, people don't want to hear that. People who are concerned about life and this earth and this world and this life, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear about how good things are going to be, how it's going to get better, how we're going to come out of this recession, how my life is going to be easier, how I can enjoy this present world. And I wish I could stand up here before you this morning and tell you that that's the way it's going to be, but it's not going to be that way. I'm going to tell you that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I'm going to tell you that the church of Laodicea, which is the church in America today, is a church of the rights of the people, and they're lukewarm. And He said, I will spit them out of my mouth. I want you to understand that you're at the point of crossing a line. You're at the precipice of a great divide. You're at the moment of a great decision, for the world as you've known it is not going to continue. Things are about to change drastically. They're already changing in the Gulf of Mexico. The financial system in Europe is already collapsing. The dollar in America has collapsed. We're in the worst recession we've had since the Great Depression of 1929. And my friend, it's not over yet. I believe God is giving one final offer, one final cry to mankind. He's giving you an opportunity now to do something that, my friend, will affect your whole eternity. Here in the book of Revelation, there is a Lord Jesus Christ who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And my friend, I want you to understand that's who He is. He has all power. He has all might. He has all glory. He's the coming Prince. He's the coming King of Kings. He's the coming Mighty One. And when He comes, this earth is going to reel to and fro, and it's going to fall before His feet, for He will take that which is rightfully His. A battle is brewing, a war like this earth has never known. It's about to take place at a place called Armageddon. The armies of heaven will come down upon the armies of hell. And my friend, make no mistake about it, the end has already been prophesied. We know who's going to win. The Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, and they nailed Him to a tree. There He gave Himself as the Lamb of God. And my friend, it was as the Lamb of God that the Lord Jesus Christ bought this earth and paid for it. He owns it because the Lamb went to the tree. Well, in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4 and 5, it is the Lamb that opens the book. It is the Lamb that looses the seals. It is the Lamb that sends the judgment of God down on this earth, because He has a right to do it, because He paid for it, because He owns it. It belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to us. It certainly doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to the Son of Man. And my friend, when He turns judgment loose, all hell is going to come down upon this earth. You say, preacher, you're painting an awful bleak future. No, the Bible does, friend. The Bible tells me that it's going to get worse and worse. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You've been turned over to a society where when you walk out that, you're no safer than a dog playing in the traffic. You're just one more person that can be preyed upon. A judicial system in this country doesn't care if you live or die. The government in this country doesn't care if you live or die. The only thing they care about is whether you put your money in the plate, whether you pay your taxes, whether you support the system. There's one who does care if you live or die. There's one who did die so that you could live, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. His bride is about to go, and I say, as John did on the Isle of Patmos, even so come, even so come, even so come. Some of you haven't lived long enough to figure it out yet. And I, my friend, I understand. It took me a while too. After I'd been saved, God finally opened my eyes. There is nothing but hell and destruction and disease and death awaiting you on this earth. This earth is accursed. This earth has no life. Life from is above. This earth has no light. Light is from above. thing that awaits you on planet Earth is an end, a hole in the ground, death and destruction. But the Son of Man lives. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I want life to come. I want light to come. I want glory to come. I want the power of God to come. I want to look into the heavens and see him come, who the Bible says is King of Kings. And lo and behold, he does. In Revelation chapter number 19, the third time that Christ shows up in the book of Revelation, John said, I saw heaven opened. Hallelujah. I want to see it open too. I've seen open graves. I've seen open jails. I've seen open operating rooms. I've seen torn up lives. I want to see heaven opened. He said, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The Son of Man's coming in power and majesty. He's coming as a conquering king, as a hero, friend. He's coming as a man of war. When he comes in Revelation 19, he doesn't come down to discuss issues with anybody. He doesn't come down to sit at any table of arbitration. He doesn't come to talk to this earth. He comes to rule this earth. He comes with blood all over his bridle. He comes with a sharp two-edged sword. He comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say, preacher, what's the answer for planet Earth? That one that's on that white horse. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming as the Almighty. You say, my friend, you say, preacher, don't you think that somehow or another we'll be able to work our problems out and we'll be able to fix the issue and man will be okay? Man's got a problem. Your technology may fix something, but I'm going to tell you what your problem is. Your problem runs deep to your soul. It's written in your heart. It's all over your nature. It's about your essence. What is it, preacher? It's S-I-N. I don't care how high they send an astronaut. I don't care how deep they go into the ocean. I don't care how much technology they pile up around them. I don't care how much they strut their stuff and talk about how great they are. Everyone, from the greatest to the least, from the biggest to the smallest, from the richest to the poorest, wherever he lives on this accursed globe, I don't care who he is, where he came from, what he is, his problem, like my problem, like everybody's problem, is S-I-N. It's sin, and there's only one answer for sin, and it's not religion. There's just one answer for sin, and it ain't the church. There's just one answer for sin, and it's sure not education. There's just one answer for sin, and it's not money. It's not achievement. It's not ability. It's not who you are and where you were born and what crowds you run with. It's that Lamb of God. It's that Christ that went to the cross. It's the one who bore your sins in his own body at the tree. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to reign for 1,000 years right here on this earth. He's going to put men back into a paradise of God. That's where man started. He was put into a paradise of God. He was placed into a land you've never seen. He had glory around him you've never witnessed. He saw and heard things that a human being, it'd be unlawful for us to hear. Yet in the midst of all that, in the midst of having it handed to him, in the midst of a beautiful paradise of God, he turned from the Lord. He turned away from him. He turned to his wife, turned to sin, and turned to Satan. He gave up that paradise. He lost that paradise. He lost that glory that was given to him. So Christ is going to come back. He's going to put back man back in another place of glory for 1,000 years. This earth is going to know a renaissance like it's never known before, a jubilee like it's never seen, singing like it's never heard, glory like it's never known. And for 1,000 years, the Son of God is going to sit on a throne in Jerusalem, and the light is going to flood from that throne. That light will go to the north, to the east, to the south, to the west. It will cover the earth, but it's a strange light, for when you see that light, it's pointing in a certain direction. All you got to do is follow it. It'll take you to Jerusalem. Don't care where you are, that light will lead you to the Son of God. But at the end of 1,000 years of the righteous reign of the Son of God, 1,000 years of the restored joy and glory of that great that garden so long ago, men will still turn against Him. They'll still rebel against Him. They'll still hate Him. They'll kiss His feet and despise Him while they do it. In the heart of man is wicked. The heart of man is full of guile and vile. How low man can sink. How deep into sin he can go. How bad we can become. Friend, give up on yourself and give up on man. Give up on mankind and give up on this earth. I want you to understand, He's got to lift you from the dunghill. He's got to reach into your darkness. He's got to take hold of you in your lost condition. He's got to help you where you are. He's got to come to you. And thank God He does. It takes man a while to get the lesson. Even after 1,000 years of the glory of God, he still hasn't learned the lesson. And so they're finally brought before a great white throne judgment. A great white throne judgment that has on the throne guests, the one sitting and judging all of His creation. Guess who He is? His name is Jesus. He's the judge of all mankind, and everyone will be brought before Him. All my friend, the old and the young, the rich and the poor, red, yellow, black, and white, it makes no difference who you are, where you were born, and when you were born. You're brought before that great white throne judgment to be judged for your sins. I can spare you that. I can stop that from happening. I can put a roadblock in the way of that. How do you do it, preacher? What can keep me out of the great white throne? It's the Lamb of God that went to the tree, that died on the cross. You can't see Him, but you can feel Him. You can't touch Him, but you can hear Him. You can't bring Him into your house and look at Him like you would me. But He's more real than I am. He can go where I can't go. He can do what I can't do. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Let Him take your sin away now, and you'll rejoice with Him for eternity. Let Him carry it as He did the cross outside Jerusalem. Let Him bear it out of your soul. Empty that deep down inside you where you're crying for help now. You've tried self-help. You've tried self-love. You've tried religion. You've tried education. You've tried achievement. You've tried your job. You've tried people. You've tried counseling. You've tried it all, and it all failed you. But you've never really tried Jesus. If you ever really take Him, if you ever really receive Him into your heart, you'll be changed that moment. You'll never be the same. You'll rejoice forever. You'll say, lost without God I was, but now I'm saved. I once was blind, but now I see. That's all about Him, friend. He's coming soon. He's coming to the earth, and He's going to shout the names of the sons of God. And I'm one of them. I'm listening for my name. When He says that shout, it'll just be one shout. One shout, just one shout. One shout from the Son of God. But it'll have every name in it of every born-again believer that ever has lived. And somewhere in there I'll hear, Charles Lawson. Charles Lawson. Hey, Charles Lawson. Yeah, come up hither. Up we go to meet Him in the clouds. Who's that going before me? Who are these people? Oh, they look like they lived in the last 200 or 300 years. There's one coming up who looks like he lived 1,000 years ago. He's ahead of me. How'd you get in front of me? But we're all going to the same place. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I've carried many of them out there. They're coming up first. That body's coming out of the grave. You're crazy, preacher. Don't bother me, friend. I'm happy. I got something in my soul. I'm almost 64 years old. I got more life in me, more joy in me, more reason to live than most of you that are 20. The only thing you know is what you can pack with your hand. You can talk to on the phone, or you can look, stare at in some TV. You don't even know how to live. I got a life breathing in me. It's boiling in me. It's rising. Oh, yeah, it is. I got life in my soul that rises high. It reaches to glory, takes hold of God, and says, I love you. I know you, and I know you're coming again. Is He coming for you? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your word.
And bless the preaching of your word. In thy holy name I pray. Amen. This youngest generation, it's so lost that if you took their iPods and iPhones and computers and all their gadgets away from them, they would be lost. They'd look outside at a big world and they'd think, now what am I going to do now? What can I do out there? Walk down next to the creek. Sit down next to the bank. Look down at the crawdads as they swim in that water. Go down to the river. Sit out on a bluff as the rock juts out over the river and watch the fish swim by. Drive up to the mountains and watch the fog as it goes down into the valleys and rises across the mountain and feel the breeze as it hits you in the face. Rise up and realize that even though this earth is cursed, that Almighty God still has beauty left here. Amen. Imagine what it looked like before sin blighted it, when he made it in the original pristine form that it was. The Bible said he saw the earth and it was good. Walk outside and get out of your house and walk out into what God's made. You'll find out there's a life out there that can be lived. But get on your knees and cry out to him. Ask him to come into your heart. You'll find a life that's higher than anything on this earth. Eternal life, salvation. You'll know the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when you breathe his air, look at his flowers, and listen to his birds sing, and enjoy his creation. All the time, instead of worshiping the creature, you'll worship the Creator, who is God blessed forevermore. I breathe his air. I walk on his earth. I live in this place. But I know who made it, and I know who sustains it. And this morning I give him glory, and I give him praise. Some of you will be brought to the point where you'll make a decision. Will you take the mark, or will you reject it? You're younger than I am. If Jesus doesn't come back soon, I believe he will. But if he doesn't, I may go the way of all the earth. That's okay. I know where I'm going. I know whom I have believed. But some of you younger people right here, you may very well be faced with taking a mark. It's called the mark of the beast. The name, the number of his name, or his name. Any one of these three things you could be forced to take. And listen to me carefully. Listen. The way the government's headed now, it's becoming a totalitarian government. It's a big brother government. It's a government, my friend, that nobody 20, 30 years ago ever thought it'd be like it is now. They want more surveillance, more surveillance, more surveillance. They want to watch everything you do, read everything you write, listen to everything you say. That's where the government is right now. Why would they want that kind of control? The reason they want it is because the man of sin shows up, he'll use that kind of control. Because you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast, the number of his name, or his name. If you don't have that, you won't even be able to live on this earth. You say, I'll run off in the woods. They'll follow you. They can track you. They have technology now where they can fly over a field, over woods with a helicopter, and see any creature in it that has warm blood flowing through its veins. They can hear you. They've got technology now that hears things that the human ear can't even hear. They can see and hear you. They can track you. That means that the Antichrist has set up the system. He's got everything ready to step in the stage of time and take control. Are you ready? If what happened in the Gulf of Mexico was caused by sabotage. I'm not saying it was. I don't know if it was. But that oil rig that blew up in the Gulf of Mexico was not a refinery. It was a pumping station. I guess it's possible for it to blow up. I suppose. You say it blew up? Yeah, but why did it blow up? Could it have been explosives planted? The bottom line is that rig that blew up in the Gulf of Mexico has become, over just a few short weeks, one of the biggest issues this nation has ever faced. And it grows exponentially by the week. So, something may be going on here. Big time. It may be the beginning of the end, or it may be the end of the beginning. It may be we're right at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Are you ready? Let's stand and sing, brother.
Page 375 in the All-American.